Hello and welcome to From Fear to Fire, secrets to overcome fear, embrace your gifts, and achieve success. This is the place where real people share real challenges and where you can find a common bond and uncommon wisdom through their journeys to help you move from fear to fire. Yes, I am Heather Hansen O'Neill. I am your host. And today's quote is by Adina Friedman. Empowering those around you to be heard and valued makes the difference between a leader who simply instructs and one who inspires. And we have an inspiring guest for you today. Neen James is the author of Folding Time and her latest book, Attention Pays. Love that title. Over the past two decades, Neen has been advising some of the coolest companies in the world, including Viacom, Comcast, Paramount Pictures, and even the FBI. She brings implementable strategies on how to create space and freedom for your employees to avoid distractions, prioritize daily objectives, and say no to requests that steal time and focus from real goals and priorities. Originally from Sydney, Australia, now a proud US citizen, speaker, author, and unofficial champagne taster, Neen James. How are you doing, Neen?
G'day, gorgeous. What a treat it is to spend time with you and your listeners. Thank you for allowing me to be part of this fabulous show.
Oh, I'm excited. I have, you know, anytime I can get a taste of Neen James along with this, the champagne taste testing, this is going to be a joy. Listeners, you're going to have so much fun. Now, before I dive into my questions that I have for you, I need to just address something I didn't include in the bio, that Neen has something about riding on the back of a Harley Davidson. And so any of you who know me, who've listened to me in my adventures, you're probably aware of the fact that I do the same thing. So Neen, where's that come from?
I would love to be able to ride a Harley myself, but I am 4'10 and a half. And so obviously it's challenged. My husband and I went to buy me a bike. I don't even have a license. I could go forward on the bike, but I couldn't actually go backwards. So if I'd have ever dropped the bike, which is something we all have to think about, I wouldn't have been able to do it. So I am a very, very happy pillion. And we have traveled all over Australia on our Harley and all over the US as well. I think that's just something cool, Heather. You know this. It kind of blows the cobwebs out. And I love that on the Harley, you have nothing but the ability to think and enjoy and be so in the moment and no technology required.
Oh, I love it too. And you know, an extra thing that is a bonus, I guess now, I'll see it as a bonus for me, a recovering control freak, is that when you're holding on, when you're not driving and you're just holding on, you have to give that up. You have to have complete trust and faith.
Oh, absolute faith. I fall asleep on the bike. So when we do really long.
I haven't gone that far.
Yeah, no, I can absolutely fall asleep. That's how much I trust my love. I can go to sound asleep and then he just wakes me up if we go through twisty corners or something. Yeah, no, I am totally relaxed. Absolutely.
That's fantastic. Okay, so now Neen James talks about luxury. So can we give some more information to our listeners who may not already be aware of you and what you help people with about that luxury mindset?
Absolutely. You know, I started in my career, I grew up in corporate business in Australia. I worked in retail, banking, telecommunications, and the oil industry. And at the time, Heather, there were not a lot of senior chicks in oil. And I was obsessed with truly getting things done. And what I realized is that the more you could develop a relationship by being able to get things done, pay attention to what matters, that's how you quickly got promoted. And so I realized that attention was vital, productivity was essential. And so my early books, as you mentioned, are in the area of focus and attention and productivity. What I realized is we can't manage time. That time's going to happen whether you like it or not. You and I get the same amount of time. You can't manage your time, but you can manage your attention. And what I know to be true and why I think you love the title of Attention Pays is because the premise of that book is that it's intention that makes attention valuable. And as leaders, we have to think about how we're paying attention personally, professionally, and globally. Because I have the privilege of working in so many luxury and legacy brands, what I wanted to be able to do, Heather, was find something where I could show my clients that I was paying attention to what they needed. So I explored how could I really serve them in a way that was different? How could I give them some tools or resources or intellectual property that was incredibly unique that was nowhere on the planet? So I've always believed luxury is a mindset. I just assume that. I love, and I'm not talking expensive, so we need to probably clarify that a little bit. But I think that attention is not a luxury, it's a necessity. And I thought this was a mindset. So I went to a research firm, the fabulous team at Audience Audit, and I said to Susan, the owner, "So I think luxury is a mindset. Can you just go make sure I'm right?" Well, for those of you listening, you know that that's not how research works. And Heather, what we found was I was wrong. There's not one luxury mindset. There's four. And that insight has allowed me to share with my clients that there was one common thing of all the different archetypes that we did discover is that everyone agreed in the survey that we did in the research study that luxury is about experiences, not things. That luxury is a reward for hard work. Now, luxury is defined very differently by people. But so what I have this privilege of doing as a keynote speaker for my corporate clients or as an executive strategist with some of the C-suites that I work with, I have the privilege of sharing with them this research and then how they can use it to attract the luxury mindset and speak the luxury language of the clients they want to attract. So that's why luxury is so important to me.
So not only are you defining it for them, you're helping them to understand their clients and that they might fall into different categories. So you have to be able to use language that would speak to all of them. So is there any way that I can talk you into sharing what these four different mindsets are?
Oh, absolutely. And if the listeners want to go to our website, Luxury is a Mindset, you are welcome to download the executive summary. We can put it in the show notes, Heather, as well, a link so that you can come and grab that. But let me give you a really high level. You have to think about as you're listening to these descriptions, which one are you? So as you go through them, let me see if I can work it out. But let's take the first luxury archetype. This mindset is who we call the reluctant and the removed. Now, to them, luxury is hard. They think brands don't understand them. They're overwhelmed, overstressed, overtired. It's not that they don't like luxury. They just don't have time for it. And so for them, because they think brands don't understand them, they're going to be less inclined to buy luxury. Doesn't mean they won't. But a reluctant and a removed person, to them, the summary is, ugh, luxury is hard. So that's the first of the mindsets. Heather, the second mindset is the person who is, this is the person who's the pro prioritizer. Let me tell you why that. The pro stands for professional. These are the people who understand luxury is power. They know that luxury makes them feel powerful. Think about the way they dress professionally, the accessories they carry. These luxury mindsets are very focused on their career. They're really focused on helping mentor others as leaders. And to this person, for them, what they're looking at with brands is what is the environmental and societal impact that they make. So if you are a brand and sustainability is part of your conversation, this is the luxury mindset that wants to know about that. So for them, luxury gives them confidence, makes them feel powerful. That's my second one, the pro prioritizer. The third of the styles is who we call the confident and the content. To them, they're thinking, well, you know what? I got this. They like luxury, but what they use luxury for is more about creating memories with people who are important to them. They feel confident at work, at home, they feel like their life's pretty okay. And this person, what you want to think about with this person is they can enjoy it, they don't need it. That's our confident and content, a little harder sometimes to identify. And then there's the fourth. Now this is the person that many of our listeners today want to appeal to because this is called the luxury lover. This person says, I am so worth it. They love luxury. They love luxury every day. They believe everybody deserves luxury. They want to share luxury. These are the people that brands want to get to know because they are huge advocates for a brand. Once they know that you're providing that elevated experience for them, they're going to tell everybody they can on social media, in their circles, at work. So with the luxury lover, what you want to think about is to them, they want exclusive behind the scenes, that VIP pass. And so the way to appeal to them is to really help them understand how you as a brand, whether you are an executive in a corporation or you are an entrepreneur running your own business, you want to appeal to this person because you've got instant marketing with their brand advocacy, but they also are the people who will make sure that they are sharing with everyone about their experience. So those four types again. And interestingly, Heather, what was fascinating to me and the research firm, where they were quite evenly split across the leaders that we surveyed. So the first one is reluctant and removed. To them, luxury is hard. The second is pro-prioritizer. To them, luxury is power. To the confident and the content, they say, I got this. But to the luxury lover, they say, I'm worth it. And the commonality, as I mentioned, between all four, they all agreed, luxury is about experiences, not things. And luxury is a reward for hard work. So as you're listening to this, regardless of what kind of business you have, whether you're in media, hospitality, whether you are in the credit union, wherever you are working, what you want to think about is how do you speak the luxury language of the client, the member, the patient, the student, the customer that you want to attract. Because when you can look at your collaterals, your sales, when you can look at your website and everything that you are sharing in the world, does it appeal to the luxury mindset that you want to attract? And by the way, you all have all four. It's just you need to understand, especially in sales, if, say, for example, I do a lot of work in luxury travel, and we do, Heather, you and I work a lot in luxury hospitality. And so we know that you might have a meeting planner, or you might have a couple or a committee that are trying to make a decision about an event or being able to have a vacation with you. And chances are you might have a couple, you might have two husbands, you might have a husband and wife. One might be reluctant and removed, and one might be a luxury lover. You got to be able to speak to both. And so I think as salespeople, as leaders in this business, we have to understand the luxury mindset, because it's not just the people that we serve, it's the team that we serve as well.
I love this because, well, so many different reasons. One is that I'm a lover of helping people to understand other people. Right.
Right.
So the behaviors, I've done a lot with personality and behavior type analysis, but I find this one really interesting. It's unique. One of the questions that I have for you, and it makes total sense the way that you've broken it down. I can picture people in my mind that fit into each of those categories. But if it's prospective client, and you can't get them to take the assessment, what are some clues that it will give away what they are?
I love this question so much, because these people are all around you and you're going to start noticing them as soon as I give you some of the clues. For our reluctant and the removed, they are busy, overwhelmed, stressed. They're always running. They're often feeling out of control. Things are just a lot for them because they juggle so many roles. You can see it in the fluster. You can see it when they're late to the meetings. You can see it in their replies, late on the emails. So one of the things to think about is that person is often quite rushed, quite overwhelmed. The second person, who is the pro-prioritizer, you're going to notice the way that they talk about their career, professional development, that they're looking for the books that they read, the conferences they're going to attend. They're going to be talking to you about and inquiring about what your practices are, how you're serving the world, how you're making sure that what you do is sustainable. So look at the questions they're asking you. They will probably be well-dressed, not overtly brands all over them, but they are going to have a sense of professionalism when they show up with you. The confident and the content, they're a little bit harder to see. They're pretty laid back, a lot of them, and you'll find that they don't get too upset about anything. They have an evenness to the temperament that they provide. They're really interested in the memory creation. So, for example, if you're in luxury travel, the way to talk to them is about how this program, this trip that you're creating for them, is going to give them memories for a lifetime. So that's one of the ways to see them. Your luxury lovers are so obvious. Let me tell you why. Luxury lovers will show you they're a luxury lover by the bag they carry, the pen that they use, the clothing that they wear. They love brands, not because they're showing off. That's not their intent. These brands actually give them pleasure. They have an allegiance to particular brands, and so they want to advocate for them. And so that's one of the things just to be aware of, is the way that they dress. But they're going to also be inquiring with you about What is just for them? What is the VIP level, the all access pass? What is something that no one else has that you're going to give to them? For example, it's not a secret that I am a fan of Louis Vuitton, and I host events, private events at Louis Vuitton. They're a client and I carry a lot and I love it. I love to give it as gifts. And it's about me sharing my love of that brand and then extending that. But what I love about it too is it gives people something that maybe they hadn't experienced before. And I've had so many meeting planners that I've given Louis Vuitton and they would say, oh my God, this is my first Louis Vuitton. And that makes me so happy. So we've got to really think about the people, the way that they speak, the words that they use, the accessories that they carry. These are all indications. Another thing that's interesting about the luxury lover, part of the reason that I enjoy brands like that is because they make you feel like you are the only client in the store if they're doing it right. So you don't have to be Louis Vuitton to do that. What you got to think about is in your business, what is that secret behind the scenes all access pass? For example, with hotels, sometimes maybe the chef comes out and says hello to the table and people feel really special about that, right? Or maybe you have a red rope section where only people go on this line as opposed to the other line. Maybe you have a secret phone number that you give to some of your clients and you let them know this is just for you. So think about this whole idea of, and the way I tie it to attention, Heather, is that, like I said before, attention is not a luxury, it's a necessity. But what we have to get better at as leaders is paying intentional attention. That we have to, like your opening quote, we have to make sure people feel seen and heard. And that's what drives all of my work, is I want to elevate every experience for anyone that I'm in contact with. And I think we can do that by simply extending grace to everyone, no matter what luxury mindset they have, and always being kind and making sure that every person that you interact with as a leader or as an entrepreneur, that they feel seen and heard, because that's how we make an impact on the planet.
This is great. This is great, Nina. And I think it's becoming so much clearer for everyone, you know, how to find them, what it is, why it would relate in all different industries and businesses. Because I think sometimes when we first initially think about luxury, some of us might be thinking, well, my brand's not a luxury brand, but that's not what this is about. This is about how do we elevate the experience our world. And I think now it's becoming super clear why it's important for everyone to understand this. Now, I know that you consider that luxury is something that you can bring into your life every day. So can you give some examples or a story of how that works?
Sure, absolutely. Think about the way that you wake up in the morning. I'm a huge advocate for a morning routine, doing the same thing no matter whether I'm in my hotel room, at a convention center, or whether I'm in my home office. And so you can elevate your morning routine. It could be that you drink your coffee out of a really fabulous coffee mug, and you don't just save that beautiful china for a special occasion. I love matcha in the morning. I love the ritual of making matcha using the traditional tools. That to me is a luxury. For you, the luxury might be the luxury of time. It might be meditating a little longer. It might be taking a walk in your neighborhood. It might be playing with a furry baby that you share your life with and be able to have time with them. So what you want to think about is, what is luxury to you? So for luxury is really defined as high quality, long lasting, authentic experiences. So what feels authentic to you? Could it be that the luxury is putting in your AirPods and going for a run and being able to smell the smells and look all around you? It could be lighting a candle. And I have this tradition that whenever I have to write something, and I don't love writing, I must admit, but you know, when you have a thought leadership space, you have to be constantly publishing. So what I do is I have a ritual of lighting a candle when I'm about to write a blog or a newsletter or a post, and that feels like luxury to me. So think about luxury in incorporating the senses, your sight, your sense of smell and touch. It could be upgrading your pillowcases to satin instead of cotton, if that's something that's important to you. It might be exchanging the products in your shower. You got to take a shower every day. So what if you made it a little little bit more special. There are so many easy, low-cost ways to bring luxury in every day. I'm a huge fan too of, I still love to read, like I love to read like a physical book. That's a luxury to me. I love to read a magazine cover to cover. That is so decadent to me to sit in the space and read it. And I know, Heather, I could read them online or Kindles or digital, but it feels like a luxury to have an actual tangible product. So what I want my listeners to think about is, what is luxury for you? Is it upgrading your workout outfit so you feel more fierce every time you go to work out? Is it lighting a candle? Is it drinking out of a special mug? Is it upgrading your linen so the things that touch your skin each day feel that little bit special? And here's why I want you to upgrade your everyday. Because you're worth it. Because you're worth it. We do all these amazing things for everyone around us as leaders. We're always serving everyone else. We take care of our family. We take care of our team, our board members, all the shareholders. We take care of all of the providers, the partners, the vendors that we work with. And we do that so well. And yet we don't prioritize making sure that we matter and that we're worth it. So that's my challenge, I think, to our listeners today, is think about, how could you just bring a little bit of luxury into your day, whether it's the luxury of time, the luxury of touch or smell, but just something that makes you realize and be reminded that luxury is about experiences, not things.
You know, you're totally speaking my language, because when I think about, how can I add something that's going to thrill me, something that's going to make me feel really good, it always has to do with the experience.
Right. You know,
I'm an adventure junkie, so I love doing crazy things. And for me, I've almost made it into a necessity, but but it is also a luxury. But I think that the thing that I really want our listeners to walk away with is a call to action to sit down, light a candle maybe, but sit down and write, what is it? What would make me have that feeling, get that experience, because I'm worth it? Just take a couple of minutes to do that.
I love that.
And you'll be able to start to implement all of what Nina's talking about. I love, love this. Now, I am going to want to ask you about your book, but before I do, I need to ask you a question that I ask all of our listeners, and it has to do with, well, the title of the show being From Fear to Fire. Have you had a fear, a challenge, or something that you had to overcome? And what lesson did you learn from it?
Oh my goodness, where does one even start? Something that your listeners may not know about me, I have already mentioned that I'm 4'10 and a half, so quite little. I am highly claustrophobic. I am fearless in every aspect of my life. I can pick up animals no one would ever touch. I'm Australian, for goodness sake. I am fearless in approaching people. I walk into every room and assume everyone wants to play with me. I've always had an incredible confidence. And yet, the one thing that I find quite challenging is being claustrophobic, which shows up in our everyday life, because I'm always in airports and the plane doors close and elevators where people decide to smush themselves in like sardines. And so what I've had to learn is how to just keep myself in check and say, this plane is going to get where it needs to be. I'm going to be able to get off at the next floor. Or most of the time, Heather, no matter how many floors, I'll say, I'll simply take the stairs. And so I think if you have any kind of fear that happens, whether it is a fear of snakes or claustrophobia or talking to people, what I've learned to do is put myself in situations as much as I can to manage through the fear and do whatever I can anyway. And then on days when I don't feel as fierce as I need to because the elevator is full of people, choose to take the stairs, whatever your version of that is. And so quite frequently, look, it's good for my glutes, it's good for my cardio to do the stairs more often than the elevator. But that's something that I've always been challenged with. And so it's something that the people in my life who love me, they know about that as well. And so it helps to also share those fears or concerns you have with people who are in your VIP circle, the people that are important to you, because they can also help you if the situation comes up that you need their help.
I really enjoy you bringing in that circle, you know, the people that you surround yourself with, that we get to choose, and to choose ones and to communicate with them in a way that's highly supportive. Really, really like it. And I also really like finding those additional ways that I can connect with my guests. And so I will share with you that I would much rather jump out of an airplane than be in an elevator. I am so with you on this.
I'm with you on that as Yeah. Give me a plane that I'm jumping out of rather than the door closing.
Any
That's
day.
fine. And yet I spend every week on planes, right? So it's just, it's, I think we have these concerns or fears in business, Heather. And the other thing that I would say to people is sometimes those little fears, they show up every day. And maybe it's a fear of failure. Maybe it's a fear of not knowing the answer to a question. Maybe it's a fear of comparing yourself to someone else. You had a brilliant guest who we both love, Eric Rosenberg, when we share our connection with the fabulous Alhai Strategic Consulting Services. Eric had some great advice for your listeners, which I'd encourage people to go back and have a listen to as well. And he said, comparing yourself to others is a waste of time. And so if your fears are driven by some of those external inputs, get rid of them. Like, you choose your inputs, you choose how fearless you're going to be. And so I curate the inputs in my life. I curate the people who have the ability to input in my life, even the social media feeds that I'm a part of. So think about how you can also, you can feel some of that fear. You can go through that, of course, but then choose to be fearless by putting some strategies in place and thinking about where your attention is going. Because like I said, you can't manage time, but you can manage your attention.
And the word curate, the way that you used it, is such a luxury word, isn't it? You have so much choice in that. And I love that. I do want to ask you, because you do a lot of work with women in leadership. So share with me some of your thoughts on women in leadership and how you support them.
Often being the only chick at a board table, the only chick in first class, the only woman, you know, and I was doing roles when I was stupid young. And I realized very quickly that as a woman who is, as I mentioned, 4'10 and a half, and I sound like I'm five, so the packaging doesn't exactly scream leadership. I realized that I have to not only create a table where everyone is welcome, but that their voice is heard. And so frequently executives will ask me to come in and work with their leaders, both male and female, but women I love working with because they often get accused of not having executive presence. And I hate that term. And I think it's a term that's used frequently when someone can't pinpoint what it is that that leader is doing. So they just lump it under this idea of executive presence. What if we just renamed it presence? What if it was about the way you present, the way that you are more strategic in your thinking? What if it was about the leadership skills and the way that you focus your time and attention? These are skills that I've been privileged to. I've worked with companies. I've built women in leadership programs for some of the big pharmaceuticals, for Comcast, for manufacturing, for media clients. And what I know to be true about all of them is that when women get together, there is not a problem they cannot solve. And I always make sure when I run these annual leadership programs with women is they have a project that they can present to senior leadership at the end of their program. And this is really vital too, because I believe accountability is vital. And I think public accountability drives private accountability. So if you can give people that you work with in your own company as you're building their professional development, think about holding them accountable for that. And I think the execution of a project that's going to advance the business is an easy way to demonstrate return on investment. So I love working with women leaders. I have lots of male leaders I work with too, of course. But one of the things that I'm on this mission to do is to make sure that we really think about how we're being more intentional with our attention. And I feel like women, whether it is in their home, church, temple, community, are truly the heartbeat of so many teams and so many organizations. And I just want to keep that heart really healthy, because that is how we allow that ripple effect that happens across not just the team, not just the organization and the brand, but across the planet. That's why I absolutely love working with women in leadership.
That's fantastic. And it ties back to what we were just talking about being intentional and curating your support group, because as women, it's our job to lift each other. And I love what you're doing there.
Yes.
Now, I'm sure that there are people listening right now who want more information about your books, about you, about how they can find you and your resources and the luxury mindset assessment. So can you please share with people?
Yeah, absolutely. The great thing is when you Google Neen James, NEENJAMES, you'll only find one. So you can connect to me. I play on Instagram every day. I regularly post on LinkedIn. They're two very easy social profiles that I'm part of. But if you're really interested in knowing kind of what luxury mindset you are and you want to use the tools, you can download an executive summary and you can even get a luxury language dictionary on our website called luxuryisamindset.com.
Perfect. And we will put that into the show notes for everyone to very easily link to. It's time for the final parting words of wisdom. What do you have for us today, Neen?
Circle back to something I said earlier, and that is this. I want you to walk into every room and assume everyone wants to play with you because the world needs you. They need your brilliance, they need your expertise. And when you do that, you will also allow other people to feel seen and heard. And that's what it's about. So walk into every room and assume everyone wants to play with you. I do.
Perfect. Well, let's take that advice. Thank you so much, Neen. I appreciate your time and your wisdom today. And listeners, thank you for being with us again. And if you love this show, please share it out to a friend. Have a beautiful day, everyone.